Welcome back to the FDH Lounge on the Sports Talk Network. Rick Morris and Elaine Tanko in with you, and we've got a very special segment coming up for you now on the program. It's our fourth anniversary episode of the FDH Lounge here tonight, and we've traveled a lot of ground, done a lot of unbelievable things in the last 4 years, and I have to give a special thank you to, as I said previously in the show, the FDH New York Bureau, Steve Servillo, who has just given us such an extra turbo charge when it comes to guest booking. We've done such phenomenal things over the course of the last 4 years and been fortunate to really just get to do so many different things in the course of the program here. And whether it be guys like Tommy Lasorda or Tommy John or the San Diego Chicken, Rick Springfield, any of them, really, Ziggy cartoonist Tom Wilson, as great as they all are, they would all tell you, they would be the first ones to tell you to a man that none of the guests we've had are bigger than this next gentleman, and we're about to bring him back in for the third time, which is just truly unbelievable. We got the chance to have a conversation with him first in April of 2009 during the early part of his book tour, his promotion for his memoirs, Priceless Memories. Brought him back in September of 2009, kind of an impromptu basis. He had just guest-hosted Monday Night Raw, and we expressed some interest in hearing him talk about that, and it was tremendous to get to hear that from him. So we've done it on two different occasions now. As I indicated before the break, we wanted to do it a third time around the time of when his paperback came out. We knew that he might be out there working in a book circuit again for that, but it has sold so well, it hasn't even gone to paperback yet. So we're really fortunate that we got him back where it's just a normal point in the book-selling cycle for him, but he consented to come in and keynote our fourth anniversary show, and we're really grateful and really blessed that that's the case. A tremendous pleasure to get to say for the third time, come on down to the FDH Lounge, Bob Barker. Bob, welcome to the program here tonight. Pleasure to have you, sir. How are you?
And thank you for that great introduction, and I'm mighty proud to be with the in the same introduction with the San Diego Chicken.
Well, the Chicken's quite a character, Bob.
The Chicken is an icon out here.
My goodness, yeah, he's huge in Southern California, no question about it.
Absolutely,
and they're. The Chicken is certainly one of the icons in the world of sports entertainment, which kind of reminds me that the last time you were here, you had just been on Monday Night Raw, sort of the mecca of sports entertainment these days, if you will. You were there. One of the developments that's happened since we saw you, a couple months later in December there, you got the Slammy Award from the WWE for Best Guest Host for the year 2009. So it was a chance to go back on, give a little bit of a talk, thank them for the award. I enjoyed getting to see you on the Slammy broadcast again. Why don't you let our listeners know about how that came about?
Well, I was delighted. They called me and they said that I'd been named the most popular or the top or whatever it was guest host of the year, and that they came over here to my home and we taped an acceptance, and I have it, my Slammy trophy prominently displayed in my home. And now that you brought this up, Rick, I had a phone call from them, and it seems they're having a big deal in, I think it's in April, in Atlanta. It's Wrestling Mania.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked me if I'd be on it again, and I said, by all means, let's go for it. And I don't even know what they are going to have me do as yet. I'm not going to wrestle, I'll tell you that, but I'll probably go along with whatever they suggest.
Well, Bob, you just broke some substantial news here tonight. Yeah, WrestleMania 27 coming up at the Georgia Dome, the biggest show of the year for the company and something that they really point towards the entire year. I'm not at all surprised that they would want to do that with you, but that's tremendous to get to hear about here. Whatever they do with you, I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun. It really was the last time with the Prices Raw and everything that they came up with. So,
oh yes, they did a great job. I thought they did. You know, they planned that whole thing, and I didn't have a hand in it. And I read it, and I said, I'll go. Well, I'll do it. That's fine. It'll work, and it sure did. It worked. Frankly, that audience that night reacted like one of the best audiences we'd ever had at The Price is Right or Truth or Consequences when I used to do that all those years ago. It was just a wonderful audience, really appreciative of not just the things that I did, but the wrestlers as well. And the wrestlers are a lot of fun. They really are. I thoroughly enjoyed meeting them. Very bright guys.
Yeah, they're tremendous. Actually, one of the guys, our producer who got you booked, Steve Servillo, he actually just got to see one of the guys last week. His band was performing down on the Sunset Strip there. I don't know if Chris Jericho, you had some interaction with him there that night. His band Fozzy was just performing in Los Angeles last week. Jericho, when you talk about the more talented guys in that company and the brighter minds, he's got to be towards the top of the list.
Very much so. I had the opportunity to talk with him before and after the show itself, and I was very much impressed with him. He's a great-looking guy, too. Fine young fellow.
Very, very charismatic. Yeah, he's a tremendous entertainer in all facets, certainly. It's funny. I mean, you joked about possibly wrestling there at WrestleMania next year, but that brings us to another one of the topics since you've been on with us here the last time. I got to think, as great as it is to be Bob Barker most of the time, maybe the exception to the rule is whenever something happens and it gets sensationalized. You did have the fainting spell, I guess, back in September, and that had a tendency to really get blown out of proportion, it seems like. Why don't you take the opportunity, Bob, set the record straight, because clearly, anybody can listen from talking to you. You're as strong as you ever were.
Oh, yes, I feel fine. I thank the good Lord. I've been blessed with good health. I went out to a shooting range, and I was given a new .45-38 revolver, and I went out to fire that, and with a friend of mine, with Roger Dobkowitz, who used to produce Price is Right, and it was a really hot day, and we had to wait and wait and wait, and finally, when we were ready to go, I was hot and tired from waiting, and I think I was probably dehydrated, and then I put on a pair of these to protect your ears. They're like earmuffs, mm-hmm. and they were really tight. And I just slowly started collapsing. I realized that I was going to, and I just kind of knelt down, and they put me in a chair, and I sat there, and they called an ambulance, and I told them I was going to be all right, but they insisted, and so they put me in the ambulance and took me over and checked me out, and they agreed that it was probably some dehydration plus the things on my ears kind of disoriented me, mm-hmm. and I was fine that evening, as a matter of fact, but I was fine the next day. I was on my feet doing it. In fact, I worked out. So it was no big deal, but as they do a lot of things, they made a big deal of it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a silly thing. I'm glad you got a chance to set the record straight there. And I'd seen some public statements from you previously along the same lines. And certainly I know everybody's glad that that's the case. Another of the developments that have happened since we talked to you the last time here, actually was sort of twofold here. I understand that you've been involved both with an organization that you've dealt with a lot over the last couple of decades, PETA, and helping them establish a new office in Los Angeles, and then also the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society with the whaling fleet down by Argentina.
Right. I bought a ship for Sea Shepherd and a helicopter and some other things, and they were kind enough to name the ship the Bob Barker. And it was all over Animal Planet all season, and it will be and is again this season, the Bob Barker this and the Bob Barker that. And people ask me about it. I tell them, out here in Hollywood, there are a lot of fellows who have boats. A lot of them have boats. Some of them even have yachts. But I have a ship, the Bob Barker, and it is right now out on patrol. That's right. And last year they did a great job, had their best year. They're trying to sink the Japanese whalers economically. They're trying to keep them, just harassing them, trying to keep them from taking the whales and making it a big loser so far as money is concerned, and they have. And the now the government has subsidized it, but even so, they think that in a matter of time and not too long, they will just kind of put them out of business. I certainly hope so.
Well, efforts like that would certainly go a long way towards contributing to it. I mean, it sounds very effective with what they've been able to do, and obviously with your charitable operations, clearly you're looking to get a bang for your buck wherever you can. It must feel very good to know that it's had that level of effectiveness.
Oh, I am pleased. I really am. I was just so pleased to be associated with this in any way. I'd admired them for years, and when I learned that they needed a ship and the helicopter, they named the helicopter the Nancy Burnett, who's a dear friend of mine and the founder and president of United Activists for Animal Rights, and she she loves it. We have worked together for years on a lot of animal projects, and having the helicopter named for her was well deserved.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's got to be a big thrill to have something as a namesake that's really advancing the work that you want to do. I have to ask also, Bob, because you are one of the preeminent spokesmen in this country, really, on the subject of animal rights, and you're one of the people who most Americans would immediately think of and associate on that subject. I'd like to get your thoughts on the comeback of Michael Vick to the NFL and the way that he's been received. I believe, coincidentally, the first time we had you on the show, I think that was the day that he was first released from the halfway house and made it back into society. When we had you on the show the second time, he had just started as a backup for Philadelphia last year as he re-entered the NFL. And you're hearing a lot of talk now on the one hand that he's been out there and doing some PSAs and doing some awareness work on dogfighting and about the ills of it and about how people should stay away from it. On the other hand, it's a pretty horrific track record of everything that went down with the dogfighting, very graphic things of that nature and things that probably compare to some of the different subjects that you've seen as far as animals being tested. I mean, the dog fighting probably compares to just about anything on a level of cruelty. So I'd just like to get your thoughts on this subject here with Michael Vick coming back, and if you think it's been a positive the way that it's been able to be portrayed in the last year or two.
No, I don't see anything positive about it at all. You used the word horrific, and that's exactly what it was. He did just bestial things to these animals. He killed them himself, and I have read, and he just treated them terribly. And for him to come back and succeed as well as he has, he's played good football, is one thing. But I am no admirer of Michael Vick's. And I am not a great admirer of the Humane Society of the United States, which took him under its wing and helped him get some good publicity. And I think it's my opinion, and I have a right to an opinion, I think they did it for publicity and hopefully would help their contributions.
Is that the kind of thing, Bob, and I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but how I would characterize it, maybe like a sellout kind of a deal here of where, and they may think, and maybe intentions are positive, and they're thinking we can leverage something positive out of this, but in associating their good name with everything that you pointed out that he did, that does to me smack of something where at best it's inconsistent in terms of associating with him versus their their principles that they're supposed to go by.
Inconsistent is an understatement. I know one animal rights activist after another who is shocked that they did it, but they did it, and so be it. But I do not work with them, and they've asked me time after time to participate with them, and I won't do it. And after this, I certainly won't.
Sure, yeah. I mean, why would you start after something like this? I mean, that the things about there too. A lot of the people don't really understand everything that happened. I'm pretty sure that somebody like you, Bob, would have immersed yourself in this. For a lot of the people that just kind of speak kind of vaguely about things that were done to the dogs or whatever, I mean, the actual record, and you picked up on me using the word horrific, the actual record of what happened with the dogs, the electrocutions, the beatings, everything that went along with that, it's one of these things where I don't think he would have the degree of popularity that he's been able to regain if these things were known to more people.
Well, I think that in a way, the only thing positive that came out of this whole reprehensible situation is that dog fighting was all over the newspapers and on television for a while. And dog fighting, there's probably some dog fighting in every state in the union. Some states have more of it than others, but dog fighting is rampant, and it is illegal in many states, of course. And he brought this to the public's attention, and I understand that enforcement agencies receive more tips on dog fighting after the Michael Dick tragedy than they had ever had before, and also made more arrests, and there have been more fines and more imprisonments than ever before. So it worked in a positive way in that regard. But what he did and what all dog fighters do to these dogs is just terrible. And the poor, many of them, they can't even place them in homes because they're absolutely destroyed mentally. And people who enjoy dogfighting, I just cannot understand. I cannot understand them, nor do I want to or be associated with them in any way.
No. You've got to be really missing the decency gene if you're going to be wanting to gamble on that and really want to partake of that in that way. On a subject of a more positive celebrity, certainly here, as I say, it was a coincidence that the first time we had you on that Michael Vick was in the news for coming out of the halfway house. It's a coincidence that the third time we have you on, one of your fellow longtime cohorts in daytime television himself has announced his retirement. Regis Philbin, of course, announcing
that's
that
right
on his program today. So,
that's right. I heard that Regis is retiring.
Yeah, he is. And that kind of leads me to a question, Bob. As somebody who, I mean, you kept going a little bit longer, a little bit further than he did, but relatively close in age to where he decided to retire. If you could just walk us through, you know, what it must have been like for him, the thought process, pros and cons, things that you're looking at that stage of your life when you decide that you want to move on to other things past the TV show that you're so associated with.
Well, first of all, I have nothing but sympathy for anyone who does not like his work, or he does not want to go to the office every day, or he doesn't want to go to the job every day, and he looks forward to weekends, and he looks forward to vacations, and begins talking when he's relatively young about what he's going to do when he retires. Unlike those people, and I really have sympathy for them, because I thoroughly enjoyed what I was doing from the very first show I ever did. I loved doing it. And I like everyone else, I thought, well, I can only do it so long. I remember CBS always wanted to sign me to 5-year contracts, and I had this 5-year contract, and of course I could quit any time I wanted to, but they had me signed for 5 years, and they had this 5-year contract, and I said, well, I'll sign it. But I said, man, I'll never finish this contract. I said, if I finish this, I'll be 70 years old. Well, 70 years old, I breezed right on by. And 80 years old, I went on. I worked until I was 83. And I haven't missed it, and I'm surprised. I thought when I first got up in the morning and realized that I wasn't going to a show and would probably never go to a show again of mine, I thought I'd go off my gourd. And I didn't. I think I did it at just the right time. Not too soon, not too late. and I hope for Regis's sake that he does the same thing, because some fellows, they are out and they are going around trying to get back in, you know, and others work too long. When I left, the show was top ratings, and everyone seemed to think I was doing the show as well, if not better, than I ever had, and I retired. And I don't regret it a bit, but I certainly enjoyed every moment. I enjoyed the last minute of the last show. I really did. I've been blessed, good health, and able to do something that I love to do for as long as I did.
Oh, sure. It's great to be able to go out on top, and it's an enviable thing, and very, very few people get to do it, particularly in so high profile an industry as that. I want to ask you also, too.
Point out that in your field, sports, and particularly boxing, it broke my heart to see Joe Louis knocked down and out a few times. You know, he was such a great champion, and he just did it too long, and so many of them have. But, and just, you know, the baseball players try to hang around too long. It's sad to see them knocked out of the box or striking out or whatever. And in any sport, it's tough to see them when they just don't have it anymore.
Speaking of baseball, Bob, have you? I know we talked about it previously because it was referenced in Priceless Memories about your relationship with Whitey Herzog. Have you maintained a connection much with the Cardinals organization over the years?
No. They indicated to my public relations man this last season that they'd be happy to have me throw the first ball out anytime they were in Los Angeles. And I thought I would, but something always happened and I didn't. I still wear my Cardinal jacket. I still have my Cardinal jacket. In fact, I wore it. We had some cool weather out here. And I wore it out one evening to go for a walk or something with my dog. I love the Cardinals. I like the Dodgers too. Baseball, you know, there was a time when if you were interested in professional sports, it was baseball. That was it. And really, and football. Isn't it great to see Green Bay and Chicago playing? You know, they were there when professional football started. They were a part of it.
That is amazing. I tell you what, in going through and looking at this, I think they'd only ever even been in the playoffs together four times over the decades. It really is unbelievable. I assumed somewhere along the line they'd played for an NFL championship. I guess they haven't even met in the playoffs since 1941. This is historic to see
it
them
is.
On Sunday, Bob. I'm very excited about this.
It's very nostalgic. It really is.
Oh, it's tremendous. The folks at Fox have got to be thrilled about that. No question about it. But as far as your experiences with TV, if Wikipedia is to be trusted, and I haven't found this to be the case 100% of the time, but assuming that it is, I've seen that you've been doing some TV work with Governor Mike Huckabee with his TV show.
I've been on his show a couple of times. Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. It had listed you on Wikipedia as a rotating guest host. I guess. What have your experiences been like with that program?
I've been on his regular show that you see on Sunday nights, but the governor was considering a daily show, and he asked me to come back and be his first co-host, which I did, and then I co-hosted, I don't know whether they played them in sequence, I co-hosted two of them, the first one and maybe the second or third or whatever, wherever they played it. And that's probably what you read. I don't know whether, I guess they didn't pick that up. I don't think that he's doing a daytime show now.
Okay.
But I did it and was quite impressed with him. He does a good job, too. I mean, on television. He's a good host.
Well, you're certainly known for being a friend of Chuck Norris, and so is the governor. He actually got an endorsement from him when he was running for president. Did that have anything to do with this, with having a mutual friend, or is that just a coincidence?
No, that had absolutely nothing to do with it, but I enjoyed reading. He didn't just endorse him. He was out there campaigning with him, and they called him Chuck and Huck.
Yeah.
Huck and Chuck. Huck and Chuck, and I really enjoyed it.
They did. They had some very memorable appearances together, certainly on TV, in person, while they were out on the campaign trail, no question about it. So aside from some of the projects that we've talked about here thus far tonight, Bob, and some of the things you've been involved with PETA and counteracting the whaling, is there anything else you'd like to get out there for the people as far as projects that you're involved in and that you're keeping busy with these days?
Well, I can give a little advice to the old-timers in that I've discovered that, and I knew this before I retired, but and it's important any time in life, whether you're young or old, but particularly when you're old, there's nothing I don't believe as important or more important than nutrition and exercise. And I keep moving. I get up in the morning and I really work out, and I don't do as much as I did when I was into karate. I don't get out and do the jumping kicks and so on, but I do work out. And if you're considering retiring, or if you're retired, if you, I remember I was told years ago, I was told to keep stretched out. That if you don't stay stretched out, then you see people, older people, kind of hunched over and shuffling, you know. And you have to be stretched out to do karate or you hurt yourself. So I got stretched out, and I'm certainly not stretched out now like I was, but I'm as much as I can be. And I'm really enjoying a lot of people will tell you that the horrible things you've heard about the golden years are true, and that's true. It's true to a certain extent. But I'm thoroughly enjoying. I'm 87 now, and I'm still enjoying every day, and I work every day and have fun every day. But as I say, I've been blessed. My genes are right or something, because the good Lord has smiled on me in many ways, but certainly so far as health is concerned.
Absolutely, and it's that foundation, really, that's kind of carrying you forward, isn't it? Because it sounds like you've really worked and prepared for this phase of life here, for the challenges that are going to hit you. Things would probably be a lot different had you not put in the karate and all the other exercise over the years. But at this point, with the foundation you've set for yourself, there's no reason, it sounds like, you can't continue to be in good health.
Well, I hope so. I think that nutrition and then is important. And then I became a vegetarian about 35, 40 years ago. And I did it gradually. I didn't just do it overnight. I gradually did. The more I learned about animals and mistreatment and exploitation, I had to. I did that. I wouldn't be comfortable not being a vegetarian. But I think that helped me a lot. That vegetarian diet it works miracles. And I don't think I would have worked as long if I hadn't become a vegetarian and if I hadn't met Chuck Norris. Because I had played basketball all my life. I'd played basketball in high school and college, and I played basketball in the Navy. But when I got out of the Navy, I played golf, but golf isn't really a lot of exercise, and particularly when you're riding around with friends in a car. But and I swam, but I just swam to cool off. But when I got into karate, I think meeting Chuck Norris was just another blessing, because he got me into a regular schedule of workout that I've never stopped, and I think it's helped me with enjoying myself. I really do.
Well, that's tremendous that he's been able to help you lay down that kind of foundation, and certainly on behalf of all of your fans, we're very blessed that you continue to stay in good health. I would like to note here in the course of talking to you tonight, Bob, this was something that was suggested to me by our FDH New York Bureau, our senior producer, Steve Servillo, who got the booking each time we had you on the program here. He suggested this, and I agreed wholeheartedly that this program we started 4 years ago, we are an ensemble here. We refer to ourselves in this ensemble as the dignitaries of the FDH Lounge. We haven't done this previously, but this merits doing it here tonight for the fourth anniversary, Bob, and to thank you for coming in, having a great conversation with us, and keynoting this here tonight. We would like to crown you our first dignitary emeritus of the FDH Lounge. We're grateful to get to talk to you here tonight, Bob, and it was just a lot of fun, as always.
Well, thank you so much, and I love being dignified. Now, what is it, emeritus?
Dignitary emeritus.
Dignitary emeritus.
Yes.
Emeritus. I'm going to talk about that.
Wonderful. You know what, Bob? We'll send you something concrete along these lines. We'll get something out to Henry here, but. We're very appreciative to have you back in. It was a big thrill. I believe it was the first time you were on the show when, in response to one of my questions, you said that I was a very discerning fellow. We put that in a promo, as I said that we would, but it's a tremendous honor to have had you on, really a validation of what we've been trying to do, of doing a show where nothing is off topic, talking to anyone and about anything interesting. And it was just our pleasure, Bob. Hopefully we can do it again here at some point, perhaps when your book goes to paperback or whenever, but it would be our privilege again.
You have to have me back now that I'm a dignitary emeritus.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, a dignitary emeritus always has a place with us. Thank you so much, Bob.
Thank you, Rick, and I thank the ensemble as well.
All right. We appreciate it. Thank you so much, sir. Bob Barker,
bye-bye.
Everybody. Goodbye, sir. Good to have you. The one and only Bob Barker. What more can be said about that?